As governments take action to fight the COVID-19 pandemic and prevent economic collapse, big law firms too are watching the virus. Yet their concern is not to save lives or the economy. Instead, the lawyers are urging big business to challenge the social and economic emergency measures that governments around the world have taken to deal with the COVID-19 crisis. 2,600 investment protection agreements worldwide have opened the door to transnational companies to sue states for billions of dollars in a parallel corporate justice system called Investor-State Dispute Settlement, ISDS. Welcome to the State of Power podcast from the Transnational Institute. My name is Sean Macheza. Today on the podcast, we will talk with Pierre Eberhardt, a researcher with Corporate Europe Observatory, and Cecilia Olivet, a researcher with TNI, about the findings from new research based on an analysis of recent legal briefings and webinars by international law firms. The new report, called Cashing In on the Pandemic and available online, takes a close look at how lawyers are preparing to sue states over COVID-19 measures.
So, all right, folks. So we know who's paying the price for the COVID-19 crisis. And some of the winners are already becoming visible. You've got Jeff Bezos from Amazon making a lot of money. Pharmaceutical corporations, tech firms are having a boom. But with the new report you guys have made, Cashing In on the Pandemic, you folks are putting the spotlight on actors that are not the usual suspects, though, and that have not made the headlines so far in the last 2 months with people reporting on the pandemic. You show that investment lawyers see the current crisis as a chance to really revolutionize investment arbitration. And they expect this to be the beginning of a boom, as some of them have said. Cecilia, can you explain to me why countries are at risk and how law firms are involved?
Sure. So states have signed around the world over 2,600 investment protection agreements. This has been over the last three decades mainly. And these treaties include a wide level of protection to foreign investors and mainly allow foreign investors to sue states for millions of dollars when they feel that the government's measures or actions could affect their profits. So with these mechanisms, foreign investors can bypass national courts and sue governments at international arbitration tribunals. So these type of treaties are what today are exposing governments to a possible wave of investor lawsuits as a result of the measures they are taking to alleviate the effects of the health and the economic crisis that we are living. Any foreign investor that feels their profits have been affected by the pandemic-related measures that governments are taking could, in principle, sue the governments. Now, the thing is, it's not just us predicting this will happen. It is the international law firms that make big part of their income from the lawsuits of investors against states who are expecting this boom in cases and who see this crisis as an opportunity. In their own words, they've said, to boost the virtues of investment arbitration. So this is a major risk at the moment, and yet, indeed, nobody is talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really rather troubling. I mean, for instance, we've heard about all the overburdened public health systems. Countries are having a hard time dealing with this situation, and they've taken a lot of measures to deal with this COVID-19 pandemic. Pierre, are you telling me that some of these interventions could lead to investor lawsuits?
Yes, indeed, they could. If you look at, for example, countries like Spain and Ireland, both countries have temporarily taken private hospitals under public control. In Spain, this happened because the private ones were half empty and they didn't accept COVID-19 patients. These are measures that I have seen frequently mentioned in briefings by law firms, you know, advising multinational clients about how they can use investment arbitrations to get their money back, basically. Other measures that have been mentioned again and again are by governments that have, for example, requisitioned hotels to turn them into hospitals, also a step that many countries have taken. Other countries have ordered companies to produce medical supplies, you know, like General Motors in the US is now required to produce ventilators. So these are measures that are important to give a bit of relief, you know, for the public health system, and have indeed been mentioned by lawyers, because the lawyers say, well, under international investment law, these steps, you know, bite into the profits of potentially foreign investors, which is why they could sue.
Wow. that's really far out. But let me see if there's a conceivable difference here. There's interventions that governments have made generally to ease the impact of the pandemic. But surely when it comes to buying medicine, tests, and vaccines, and making sure these are affordable and accessible, that's not under the scope of this, right? That can be challenged, can it?
Yes, it can. So,
wow.
Having access to low-price medicines, vaccines, and tests for COVID-19 is probably the top priority of most governments at the moment. And it will also determine the fate of millions of people. So governments have already to start taking measures to make sure that there is no profiteering by pharmaceuticals in particular, but other also providers on drugs, on tests, on vaccines. Some governments in particular, like Canadian government, Germany, Chile, Ecuador, they have all the issue what it's called compulsory licenses. This is a mechanism that allows the governments to give individuals and other companies different than the patent holder the right to produce a product or a medicine and so on. So this is, it's a key measure that governments have been taking, and investment lawyers have already warned how that type of action could be considered an expropriation by governments. Now, expropriation is a violation that is specifically mentioned in investment protection treaties. So indeed, it would give foreign investors a cause to sue. So we could be seeing investors challenging this type of measures that governments are taking for millions of dollars.
So where does this end? I mean, what other types of measures have these law firms identified as like possible pickings for ISDS lawsuits? How far does it go?
It goes very far. I guess there's no end to the creativity of these lawyers. I mean, we can go on and on like that.
It seems like it.
Maybe just to mention a couple of other examples to show also how, you know, the breadth of the measures that are at stake here. Like, I was really struck, for example, by law firms highlighting El Salvador and Bolivia. Both countries have taken action to make sure that people actually have access to clean water, you know, to wash their hands. So El Salvador, for example, has said, well, families that have been struck by COVID-19, they don't have to pay their water bills for a couple of weeks. Bolivia has said, you know, if people cannot pay their bills, then water services cannot be cut off. And this is then when the law firms say, well, this might be nice for people who want to wash their hands, but it's very bad for utility companies, which we represent. So we might sue you under this regime for, again, biting into their profits. Same for measures that many countries will have to take to fight the financial and economic crisis that they're already in or will get into, you know. So these are measures like, for example, capital controls, you know, to prevent the massive outflow of money, which can be very destabilizing for an economy. Also debt relief and debt restructuring will be very important for many countries. And again, law firms say, not under international investment law, you know, if you do that, we can sue you. So, I would say there's probably no measure that a government has taken or is considering to take that will not be looked at very, very critically by the law firms.
Well, it looks like these law firms have quite a lot of practice. I mean, they've covered almost each and every angle. Is there something new that's happening? Because I mean, COVID-19 is really unprecedented. That's the word everyone keeps using. But to your knowledge, have these law firms and investors taken advantage of previous crises to sue governments?
The law firms' predictions and the different scenarios that they're laying out are not based on fiction. First of all, there are more than 1,000 known claims worldwide by investors suing states. So that already sets a precedent. But more importantly, mm-hmm. law firms and companies know that investment protection agreements are a powerful tool to recover losses resulting from crisis. And there are many precedents. Investors, for example, have sued Argentina after the economic collapse of 2001. They have sued several Middle Eastern countries, particularly Egypt, after the Arab Spring of 2011. They have sued countries like Belgium, Greece, and Cyprus after the global financial crash of 2008. So this already show, every single crisis there's been has given an opportunity for investors to sue. The case of Argentina in particular offers a glimpse of what we could expect. At the time of the crisis, the government took several measures like freezing utility rates, nationalizing certain assets, devaluating their currency, restructuring sovereign bonds. All of these measures are also measures that governments are taking today in the context of the COVID-19 crisis. Mm-hmm. And as a result of the measures that Argentina took back in 2001, they faced 42 lawsuits by transnational corporations for loss of profits. And in a big number of those cases, the investors won hefty compensations. So it's, think it's lawyers, know that this sets a precedent.
I mean, I can see the lawyers and the companies making these wild accusations and saying governments should pay us, but surely the governments can argue that this is an emergency. You know, it's a result of the crisis, and we had to do this because it had to be done. Will they be ordered to pay compensation for that?
Well, governments will surely make that argument. And I mean, Argentina, Cecilia just referred to the many cases they received because of their actions in the economic crisis at the beginning of the century, made exactly this point. You know, we had to act like that to protect our people and to, save the economy. And I think they made this argument in around 14 of the cases. In 11 of them, the arbitrator said, well, interesting, but we disagree. And so the law firms, which are now advising companies to sue again, they are aware of these rulings, and they already give advice to companies now about how they can circumvent, these defenses by governments. Wow. And some of it is quite cynical, actually. I mean, for example, for
some such arguments,
I find them cynical. Like one of the criteria for such a government defense to hold is that, a government must not have contributed to the emergency. This is when the law firms say, states might have contributed, by ignoring early warnings of a coming pandemic. They might have contributed by underfunding public health regimes. This would be an argument for the investor, to challenge the government's claim that this was needed. So you will see many tricky arguments. Governments will have defenses, but they can be challenged by investors and their lawyer, and they are definitely already, I would say, practicing their arguments to get around.
Wow. And assuming some of these arguments work and countries are actually put to these tribunals, what would be the main consequences that governments face if they get sued?
Mm. The main risk is certainly having to, face paying millions of euros in compensation from public budgets that are already in a very precarious state. So this will be taxpayer money that would be diverted away from, funding public health, access to food, employment creation, all current, absolute needs to pay foreign investors. In particular, in the countries in the global south, I would say, the financial cost of these lawsuits would certainly add to the heavy foreign debt burden they are already facing. Because we know that the amounts of these claims are staggering. By the end of 2018, for example, we have calculated that states worldwide had been ordered or agreed to pay foreign investors around $88 billion. There is already 13 cases where governments have been ordered or agreed to pay, one single government, more than $1 billion. And wow. It's also worth noticing, I think, so besides the, the actual cost, the other risk that we could see is governments taking a step back from or shying away from advancing certain measures that could alleviate people's needs because of the fear of being sued for millions of euros. I think these warnings that, law firms have been sending and writing and these advices mainly for their corporate clients could also be read as a warning for states, because it's telling states, watch out. I mean, this is coming, so be careful. And in some cases, they even said it explicitly. So just think twice what you're going to do before you take any measures. So, yeah, it's a financial risk, but it's also a risk of, not having important good legislation being rolled out because of the fear of being sued.
Precisely, that's what you pointed out in the in a discussion we had previously, right? That they won't have the fiscal space to do the public service interventions that would be necessary also to prevent another crisis. So it's almost paradoxical. Is there any way to stop this madness? Pia, tell me, how do we stop this madness?
Yeah, well, I guess it's three things that governments should really do. Maybe as a step for immediate relief, sign an international agreement that basically says no such lawsuits over any measures that we took, to deal with the public health, with the social and economic effects of this crisis. And there is already a draft proposal for such an agreement. So that would, I would say, provide some relief to the government signing on to that. Secondly, get out of the treaties that you signed that have no, public benefit, no benefits for the wider public. But are crazily risky, for public budgets and for what you need to do, to protect your people. And this might sound really wild, leaving international agreement. It might also not sound very popular in these times, but actually quite a number of states are doing it and have been doing it. Just recently, 23 EU member states signed an agreement where they said, we will kill all the investment protection agreements between ourselves. So that's 100 treaties that will be cancelled in one go. So it is possible, and this needs to happen more and more. And the third thing, I mean, that might sound obvious by now, but apparently it's not so obvious to many governments, is don't get into any new agreements. We see this in many countries, in the Netherlands, you have a fierce debate at the moment whether this country should ratify the CETA agreement with Canada, which includes the very same investor rights, that we have been talking about now in this episode. I mean, they might sound a little bit nicer here and there, but I think that what we see now by the law firms and how active they're looking for business and encouraging companies to sue, this nice language, won't keep them from suing. This is a really crazily dangerous regime for the public. And I really hope that this crisis leads to a more thorough rethink of the regime, because how can you justify in such a situation that you have a legal regime which provides, you know, much more protection for those who are very wealthy than to those who will in any ways, you know, bear the costs of the crisis in a very harsh way. I think it becomes very clear now. I mean, there's no space for such a regime. ISDS really has to go.
Thank you so much for listening this far. The new report, Cashing In on the Pandemic, is available online on TNI's website and on Corporate Europe Observatory's website, corporateeurope.org. If you'd like more radical analysis, particularly under the extraordinary circumstances of the COVID-19 pandemic, join us for our weekly webinars. TNI and its allies are working to continue to bring you radical analysis of the most pressing issues of the day. We bring together excellent experts to discuss how this pandemic health crisis exposes the injustices of the global economic order, and how this crisis must be a turning point towards creating the systems, structures, and policies that can always protect those who are marginalized and allow everyone to live with dignity. TNI's material is all free, but we would greatly appreciate your help to keep doing the work we do. If you'd like to find out more about TNI's work, please look us up at www.tni.org/support-us. And find us on social media at TN Institute on Twitter and Transnational Institute on Instagram and Facebook.